Acts chapter number 16 this evening. We've been looking at evangelism and winning of souls and all this year on Thursday nights and the outreach. And of course, we're approaching our missions conference. We're going to, in some way, shift gears in that direction and in reaching of souls and missions. And tonight, I just want to talk real quick about the call to missions, And we're going to look in Acts chapter number 16. You know, when we think of missions in the Bible, most every mind goes to the Apostle Paul. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, one of the greatest missionaries that's ever been. And Paul, in this passage of Scripture, he's sharing something that happened to him while he and Barnabas are on their missions trip. Let's start reading there in Acts chapter 16 and in verse number 8. The Bible says this, "And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. In a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen this vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Paul, in this passage of Scripture, I think it's very clear from the time they left, the Holy Spirit was leading he and Barnabas. It's important for every missionary to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. It's also just as important that every one of us be led by the Holy Spirit of God, that he leads us in who to speak to, who to witness to. And they are going about and doing the work that the Lord had called them to do. Look up in verse number 6. It says, "Now when they," it's Paul and Barnabas, "had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." Now, just simply stopping to read that, you're like, wait, what? You know, you don't read that often, right? Holy Ghost forbidding someone to preach, right? But it's about direction and where they're supposed to go. I'll just say this for the sake of saying this. You know, we are to be a witness in every opportunity that God has for us. For a missionary, it is just as wrong not to go to the field as it is to go where God didn't tell them to go. They must be led by the Spirit of God. And so they, the Holy Spirit, told them not to go to Asia. All right? They are literally, Brother Tyler probably went over this in his geography Sunday school class, but they're literally on the western side of what we call modern-day Turkey. And they were desiring, they had made their way up through the churches, and they were desiring, by the reading of Scripture, that they would continue on the northern area there in what we'd say is Turkey today, Asia Minor. And so that was kind of their thought, but the Holy Spirit said, no, don't go there. So you see here that Paul's being directed by the Holy Spirit of God, and he's told not to preach there in Asia, and there's a conflict in verse number 7. It says there, after they were come to Mysia, Mysia is on the northwestern side of Turkey. It says, we were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. Now, Bithynia is an area in Asia Minor, just a little bit to the east of where they were. Now, obviously, God, the Holy Spirit, had forbid them not to go that direction. But they wanted to go in that direction. They weren't in sin, but they're like, boy, seemed like, humanly speaking, that's where they wanted to go. But in verse number 7, but the Spirit suffered them not. So the Holy Spirit of God said, do not go there. So they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. Troas is a port city on the very western tip, northwestern tip of Turkey. And they're there, and they're going to sleep there that night. That is what, when, in verse number 9, this vision appears, called the Macedonian vision, is what we've called it. But they're staying at Troas, and this vision comes to Paul, a divine call, which really, in so many ways, I believe, is the call of missions. Come over and help us. Come over and help us. Church, that is all of our calling, be it across the street or across the sea. People need help. They need the Lord. So here Paul hears this divine call, come over and help us. And so Paul determines to go. And I want to talk really quick tonight about this call to missions that is for every one of us. This call to mission. First of all, I want to consider this way. This call comes from within. In verse 6 and 7, you see them, and they're kind of, in some ways, they're praying, and they don't disobey God. But boy, they see this potential in Bithynia. They see the potential as they're there in Mysia. And what are they looking at? Again, I do not in any way believe Paul and Barnabas are wanting to be in rebellion against God. What's drawing them to these areas? People. They know there's lost people there. They've been seeing converts in their missionary trip. They've been seeing people get saved. And here's more people. And something within them had a desire to reach them. Listen closely to what I'm about to say. If you're saved, something within you should desire to reach those who are lost. If you're saved, something within you should understand that everyone that we pass and the people that we walk by, as the book of Joel and the prophet Joel said in chapter 3 and verse number 14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. There are so many people that are out there that we pass each and every day. There are people that all around us where we live. There are people all around us in our community, in our towns, in our families, in this nation, and all the nations across this world. The multitudes. It is estimated that 90% of the preachers are preaching to 10% of the population in this world. There are multitudes of people. When the Lord looked upon the multitude of people in the city of Jerusalem, the Bible says that he looked at them and he wept over them because they were a sheep having no shepherd. When Andrew, when he responded to the Lord and his call upon his life, the Bible says that he first went and found his brother, Simon. There was something within him that said, I need to go and reach someone else. It should be within all of our hearts. If you're saved tonight, that these people that we are walking by every day are going to spend eternity somewhere. And unfortunately, the great majority of those that we are going to pass by, they're going to end up in hell if someone doesn't speak to them. It's a dangerous place to be when our heart gets so hard that we don't ever think about the people that we're around every day. As Ginger's here in Autumn, it was John Knox that said these words, "Give me Scotland, or else I die." Is there a burden within you to reach the souls around you? Have you prayed for your neighbors, your community? The scary thing on this point is this, that it's possible as a believer to become, as it's warned about in the book of Revelation, to lose your first love. What should be that natural love for souls and a burden for souls, a love for the Lord. And if you love the Lord, you're going to love lost souls. And that can grow dim in your life and in my life. The call to missions, there's a reason, and I'm not saying anything negative to Paul and Barnabas in this passage of Scripture. The reason it would be great to go this direction is because there are people there going to hell. They want to see him get saved. There should be a call within. And secondly, there should be a call from without. Verse number 9, again, he gets his vision. There's this man from Macedonia that says, come over into Macedonia and help us. There should be something within us that calls us to missions. But there also should be something, a call from without. Granted, there aren't a whole lot of people that are picking up the phone and giving us a call saying, please come over. But knowing their lost condition, that call by looking at their eyes should be there. We, a couple years ago, with the Sturms, we were able to travel over to Italy, and my wife and I, and Hope. And you've not experienced much, and I'm sure there's other places in the world like it, but the subway system in Italy is an adventure. It's just like you see in some of those places where you're literally being pushed into so the doors can shut. It's, if you don't like closed spaces, don't go there. There's just the multitude of people. And I was sitting there, standing there. There's no sitting. I was standing there in one of those cars, and my arms are straight up because I couldn't put them down if I wanted to, so I'm trying to hold on to the ceiling, and people are just everywhere. And I looked across, and with the exception of a few Sturms and a few Berks, these people, as far as I could see, car to car to car, were heading to an eternity to hell. You pass by and you walk through, I don't know if you've ever been to New York City. I've been twice. I don't desire to go back. If that's your thing, go for it. But boy, I tell you what, you walk through that town, in the middle of that town, and the multitudes of people. You think about the times we've gone down to the Red Stadium before those games have started and passed out tracts, and praise the Lord for that opportunity. We were able to pass out over 1,000 of those in just a couple hours. But you know how many thousands have walked through those doors? The multitudes of people. And then let's make it personal. The bus route driving Sunday, and Jackson gets on the Milford bus route. That's a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. These two little girls live in Oakwood, and they getting off the bus Sunday, and they stopped and looked at the bus driver, which is me, and said, "Thank you for taking us to church." Those are souls. Andy Sturm, I talked to him today, one of the guys he works with at the funeral home. His name is Tyler. Tyler was an atheist. He called Brother Sturm a little bit ago, months or weeks ago, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, he said, "Andy," he said, "there's something wrong." He said, I can't sleep. What's wrong with me?" And Brother Andy began to witness to him. And Tyler's still not saved, but he's getting closer. These are souls. A couple Thursday nights ago, one of the last nights of the Kids of Palooza, a dad came in. His name's Timothy Vance, the Milford route. I don't know if you saw him when church was over. He walked up, said, "Can I talk to you?" And we sit up there in the front row, and Timothy said, "Pastor," he said, "I'm lost." He said, "I listened to his sermon tonight. I don't know if I'm saved." And we sat there, went through the scriptures, and he bowed his head and accepted Christ as a Savior. There's more Timothy Vances out there. There's people, and Brother Elam is able to be a witness to, like Jim there, that was in a wicked life, head towards hell. But praise God, someone with the gospel came his way. Amen. There's a call from without. So many people, we must open our eyes. Remember the song we sing, "Send the Light"? It's based off this passage of scripture. The Macedonian call today, send the light. There's a call from within. There's a call from without. There's a call from above. A call from above. Who gave Paul that vision, verse number 9? God did. Why did God not want him to go one direction? Because he knew where he needed him to go to preach the gospel. There were hearts that were ready, people that needed to be saved. And there was a call from above. In Hebrews chapter number 12, it says that, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, You know, I am not, and if you want to argue with it, you can be whatever, believe what you want on this. I'm not, this is not a stand I'll be strong on, but I don't believe people in heaven are watching us. I don't believe that they are beholding everything that we do, because heaven's a place of perfection and there's no sin. And if they were watching our lives, there'd be a lot of stuff they'd have to turn the eye on. But I do believe that when someone gets saved, that there's rejoicing in heaven. I do know that nothing brings the joy in heaven when a wicked sinner repents. The Bible says in the book of Luke that there's joy in the presence of the angels. I believe God rejoices. I believe Jesus rejoices. I believe the Holy Spirit rejoices. I just believe there's great rejoicing when someone gets saved. And that call from above says to us, go ye into all the world. It matters in heaven what we do with this call. There's a call from within, there's a call from without, there's a call from above. Number four, there's a call from beneath. There's a call from beneath. The Bible teaches in the book of Luke that there was a rich man that died lost, and he went to hell. And in hell, that rich man cried out and said, I have five brothers. Send Lazarus that he may warn them not to come to this place. My friends, hell is no joke. Hell is real. And I heard a preacher say this, and I would say amen to it. Unfortunately, there is more of a burden for lost souls in hell than there is in most church pews. Those in hell would cry out for someone to go warn their friends and family. There's a call from beneath. There's a call from above. There's a call from without. There's a call from within. Can I just say this lastly? There's a call from the cross. Because of the cross, there's a cry for more to be saved. You know, when Jesus said, I thirst, it showed his, obviously, his physical, what he was going through. But when he was on the cross, he was desiring nothing more than for people to be saved. As long as we have the opportunity to preach the gospel, the preaching of the cross, to them that perish may be foolishness, but to us who are saved is the power of God and the salvation. May we continue to preach that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, he's not on the cross. Amen. He died, was buried, and rose again. Amen. But it's the preaching of the cross and what Christ did on the cross that saved me, amen, saved you. So there's a call from within, there's a call from without, a call from above, a call from beneath, a call from the cross. I read someone, they wrote this the other day, they said, the call to reaching souls is from the outstretched hands of humanity, from the downstretched hands of heaven, from the upstretched hands from hell, from the folded praying hands at church, and from the nail-scarred hands of Jesus. May we heed that call. Again, we've looked at evangelism all year. That call, as we approach our missions time, is not just for these missionaries. That same call is for you and I today. That's why our theme all year has been across the street or across the sea. Let's reach people with the preaching of the cross.